This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Than it was a year ago, certainly. But we're watching and not playing. And so, you know, there's work to be done.
Yeah, there's work to be done. And Mike Tomlin, right there from his press conference end of season last week, was talking about, you know, do you think that you're closer now to being able to be one of the top dogs? Well, at least being able to win a playoff game than there was a year ago when the Steelers did not make the playoffs. Certainly. Certainly, he thinks so. Austin Bechtold with you as the Fan Early Morning Show. I've been wondering why he said that. And I don't think he's going to come out and say, yeah, well, you know, I don't really feel that great about us right now. And we have a lot of work to be done. He could have just came out and said a cliche answer or whatnot. But then I thought, Mike Tomlin's obviously a defensive guy. Maybe he thinks it's just because his defense is in a better spot. Think about it. T.J. Watt missed a majority of the season last year, didn't play, banged up. Cam Hayward played pretty well, and it was the opposite this year. Cam Hayward only 11 games, was banged up, and just a few number of sacks, two on the season for Hayward. He's got over 80 in his career. Had a season when he was an all-pro and a pro bowler with 12 sacks. But just because of injuries, he regressed this year and did not have the type of performance that he's accustomed to having. As a three-time all-pro, been to the Pro Bowl 5-6 times. Minkah Fitzpatrick also dealt with injuries this year. But Joey Porter Jr. on this defense has been critical. I mean, he was huge. He is a finalist for Defensive Rookie of the Year. And he might be one of the reasons why Mike Tomlin does feel better about the team going into this year than maybe a year ago. I don't, because the quarterback position is up for grabs. Question marks galore. Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett. Mitch Trubisky won't be back next year. I mean, Trubisky just, at this point, is a lost cause on the Steelers. He's a ghost walking around the facility, hovering around the facility, whatever. He won't be back next year. They're going to get rid of his contract, get rid of that cap hit on the books, maybe try to give Mason Rudolph the same exact deal. Rip it up, do it again, bring in a third quarterback, probably draft a quarterback. If you have two, you don't have one. And there's a split, a great divide down the middle between Pickett and Mason Rudolph. And the Steelers shouldn't feel good about that, but they should feel good about Joey Porter Jr. They got him for Chase Claypool, who was basically sent off to Miami to fix his career, which, if you're going anywhere to fix a career, is Miami really the place to do that? A lot of distractions in Miami. Yeah, he's got Mike McDaniel. San Francisco might have been a better place. I could have seen Chase Claypool potentially thriving in Green Bay. He went to Chicago, close to where he went to college in Notre Dame. But the Steelers got Joey Porter Jr. for him. 32nd pick for Chase Claypool. It was a second rounder that, oh, since Chicago was just so bad, there was the possibility. Miami lost their first-round pick. It was virtually another first-round pick. And he played like a first-rounder. Joey Porter Jr. allowed 24 receptions on the season. Yes, about the first 5-6 weeks, he wasn't a starter. He was a reserve, extra corner. Come on in, nickel packages. He had 24 receptions. The next closest rookie, Devin Witherspoon. He was the 5th pick, 39. Emmanuel Forbes, the 16th pick, also 39. Deontay Banks, 24th pick, 53. Porter was great. And a lot of people in Detroit were very upset. Very upset. Brian Branch from Alabama, somebody who was floated out there as potentially a Steelers pick. Branch had a good year. There's no doubt about that. 64 tackles, 3 picks, 11 pass breakups, 10 quarterback pressures. It's kind of like the Myles Garrett and TJ Watt argument. We'll get into that in a little bit, in a couple of minutes as well. Then you look at the Joey Porter Jr. PFF grade, 66.5. Brian Branch, 78 PFF grade. Porter, 35 tackles, a pick, 6 pass breakups, no quarterback pressures. Well, Brian Branch is also a safety. Joey Porter Jr. is not rushing the passer for quarterback pressures. He's not coming off slot blitzes. The pass breakup numbers might just because of the amount of playing time. He also did not have that many balls thrown his way, it seemed, as well. The PFF grades, whatever. Detroit Illustrated asks, was Brian Branch robbed? Joey Porter Jr. allowed a reception on 4.7% of coverage snaps. That's 24 total receptions that we talked about. On 500 snaps, 501 exactly. Brian Branch, on the other hand, a reception of 9.4% of coverage snaps. That's 41 on 436 snaps. Joey Porter Jr. only gave up one touchdown on those 501 coverage snaps. That comes out to 19%. Rather, 0.19. Branch gave up 5 touchdowns on 436 coverage snaps. Porter allowed a passer rating of 65.9. Branch was at 86.2. You know, one thing that I've kind of learned and figured out, and I think a lot of people kind of think this, but maybe it doesn't come to the front of their minds where they can truly realize it and put these pieces together. You can come up with a stat to basically make any argument that you want in almost any different realm or area. Detroit has explanations and reasonings, tackles, PFF grades, interceptions for why Brian Branch should have made the all-rookie team compared to Joey Porter Jr. But Joey Porter Jr., how many receptions did he allow? 24, Branch 41. Joey Porter Jr., oh yeah, touchdowns, important. Don't get in the end zone. 1, Joey Porter Jr. also caught a pass in the end zone as well against Baltimore from the MVP of the league in Lamar Jackson. Passer rating as well. So when you flip it around and you talk about TJ Watt against Myles Garrett, you can look at Pro Football Focus numbers. You can look at the fact that, oh, other people, other outlets are trying to make this big argument for why TJ Watt and Myles Garrett, it isn't as close as you really think it should be. And that Myles Garrett is the odds-on guy to be the MVP. There are numbers that I look at for defensive player of the year, rather. TJ Watt, sacks, tackle for loss. I look at pressures. I look at QB hits. I look to look at tackles for loss, forced fumbles, interceptions. PFF grades, okay. Let's compare T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett. Oh, let's compare Max Crosby as well. T.J. Watt, 19 sacks. Myles Garrett, 14 sacks. Myles Garrett had 1 sack in his final 6 games. He didn't play the last game. That should not hurt his candidacy. But T.J. Watt, he played 2 sacks final game of the year against Baltimore. T.J. Watt, 19 sacks. Why is that so monumental? Well, it's the most in the NFL. Again. Watt in 2020, 2021, 2020, and 2023 led the NFL in sacks. And if he didn't get hurt last year, I'd be willing to bet he would have did it again. No player in NFL history since sacks became an official stat in 1982 has led the NFL in sacks 3 times. Not even his brother, J.J. Watt, did it. Not even Reggie White did it. Jared Allen didn't do it. Some of the best to ever rush the passer, Lawrence Taylor, never did it. T.J. Watt has done it 3 times. Myles Garrett still looking. T.J. Watt, 19 tackles for loss. Myles Garrett, 17. Max Crosby does lead with 23. Why isn't there a lot more momentum for Max Crosby to potentially be Defensive Player of the Year? But yet it's Myles Garrett. Max Crosby has more pressures than both Watt and Garrett. Watt and Garrett, 86. Max Crosby, 94. In terms of quarterback hits, T.J. Watt leads it, 36. Myles Garrett, 30. Max Crosby, 31. Quarterback hurries. How about this? In terms of quarterback hurries, Max Crosby has 20. T.J. Watt with 12. Myles Garrett, under 10. Max Crosby does have a lot of tackles, 90. T.J. Watt at 68. Myles Garrett, 42. Passes defense, 8 for T.J. Watt. Myles Garrett, 3. Myles Garrett doesn't drop back in coverage. That's another thing that goes underrated with T.J. Watt. He's asked to drop in his own coverage. Oh, kind of like he did at the Rams game that I was at in L.A. in an interception that he took it inside the 5, inside the 10. Set up a Steeler touchdown. The amount of multi-dimensional things that T.J. Watt can do compared to Myles Garrett, who is a traditional defensive end, edge rusher, pass rusher. T.J. Watt is more of a well-rounded football player. And I think he's the most intelligent pass rusher in the NFL as well. Myles Garrett, very smart in his pass rushing moves. Also, just the way that he's able to craft his way past tackles and spin moves, chops, anything to get to the quarterback. Forced fumbles, Garrett and Watt tied at 4. Fumble recoveries, 3-1. Watt interceptions, Watt quarterback hits, Watt sacks, Watt pass defense, Watt tackles for loss, Watt over Garrett. I wonder if it's T.J. Watt fatigue. Maybe not. I hope the AP voters do the right thing. When you look at it, there's a realistic chance that Joey Porter Jr. and T.J. Watt, there's a good candidacy for both of those guys to win their respective awards. T.J.'s probably got the hardest chance. There's probably a better shot for Joey Porter Jr. to be Rookie of the Year. He's going up against Will Anderson. Great season for Anderson, double-digit sacks. Jalen Carter had a really good year in Philadelphia. Remember, somebody who dropped in the draft, top 5 talent, picked 9th, Philadelphia with an extra pick, just didn't do anything in the playoffs. Neither did anybody for Philadelphia down the stretch, as they were, what, 11-1, 10-1? Fell apart on 11-6, wild card team. Got their doors blown off in Tampa Bay. Kobe Turner, defensive tackle of the Rams. And then Devin Witherspoon, who Joey Porter Jr., at the same position, played better than. Porter was the best corner, rookie corner of anyone. And Witherspoon's a damn good player in Seattle. He's going to be fantastic, a top-of-the-line corner for years to come. He is legit. Really good player. Can play in the slot, can play him outside. Also somebody who can be rushing the passer just off of a corner blitz. Defensive Player of the Year. It's Watt, Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, Deron Bland. Deron Bland, kind of a bland candidacy. Pun intended. Did have a bunch of pick sixes. The NFL record. Max Crosby, good chance as well for him. Micah Parsons kind of overshadowed. But for some reason, it's been built up that this is Myles Garrett's spot to lose. Is it that people are overvaluating PFF so much? I don't want to completely downgrade what PFF is. A lot of Zach Robinson, one of the candidates for Steelers offensive coordinator, worked for PFF. A lot of guys have worked for PFF and then worked in the league. A lot of former players have worked for PFF. Zach Robinson is probably going to go to Atlanta with Raheem Morris. and be their offensive coordinator. We'll see, but Raheem Morris, the defensive coordinator, why not take a guy he's familiar with in L.A., the pass game coordinator, and Zach Robinson, hot commodity. Steelers want to talk to him. Raiders want to talk to him. Atlanta might just take him away before anybody else can. Steelers offensive coordinator issues, thoughts, comments, who they could hire, 412-928-9370. Want your thoughts on that? Why T.J. Watt, Joey Porter Jr. should win Defensive Player of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, respectively? Or why you think they shouldn't? And you think maybe Myles Garrett, because I know a couple people from Cleveland listen, should be Defensive Player of the Year. Tell me, Cleveland. Anybody listening up by the lake? Why Myles Garrett should be Defensive Player of the Year? Also coming up, the Penguins struggle. Bill Belichick might not have a job for the first time in a long time. And much more on the FanDuel Morning Show for the Average Joe, presented by CGR Wholesale, where the average Joe buys like a pro at CGR Wholesale. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevy. 2024 starts with great incentives on Trailblazer, Blazer, Equinox, and Silverado. SunChevy.com. Man, you walk outside the last couple of days, and it feels like it's September, May, the end of January, 59 degrees and mostly cloudy skies. Some rain chances as well, about 45 degrees tomorrow. Much more coming up. Austin Bechtel with you, FanDuel Morning Show on the FAM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Early Morning Show, Austin Bechtold with you. Penguins are finally back in action tonight. Back at home, Florida Panthers. First of a back-to-back. You know, I feel like there's these lulls in the season with the Penguins. They didn't play since Monday in what looked like a home game in Arizona for the Penguins. A game at Arizona State. Small arena. 5-2 the loss for the Penguins. You can't score on your own net. You just can't. Just ridiculous. Two-game losing streak for the Pens. In their last 10, they're 4-4-2. They're 21-17-6. Seventh in the Metropolitan Division right now. And then when you look at the wild card, they got 48 points. Detroit is the second wild card. They've played 48 games. Four games in hand. Pens got 44 games on the season. Detroit's at 55 points. The Maple Leafs are at 56. Teams are starting to figure it out. Philadelphia continues to roll. They're looking pretty good, other than now starting to drop off a little bit because of the four-game losing streak. They're 5-5 in their last 10. But before that, I mean, still, nobody expected Philadelphia to be in this thing. At least I didn't. They're +3 overall and overall differential, goals for, goals against. The Pens have scored 133 goals this year and have given up 121. Again, 4-4-2 in their last 10. After a decent stretch right around Christmas, got them really back into the mix, into the fold. Last two games, though, have been just at the Golden Knights, a game that... Yeah, I mean, Vegas is a really good team. And it's a game that they maybe should have won. Dating back to the Kraken game, though, at home, 3-0 win good performance. At the Hurricanes, overtime loss. Canucks, overtime loss. The game, Pens probably should have won. Winning at the Flyers. Game that against the Sabres, Pens really should have had. Saturday, January 6th, but 2 days before that on January 4th, Pens went up to Boston and won 6-5. It's a team with no consistency. And it's indicative on the Stars. And also, a lot of the guys around the Stars aren't playing as well, but it's got to be the Stars that carry the load. Erik Karlsson, where are you? Where have you been? Pulled out a bolo for the Penguins, big acquisition. Probably the top trade acquisition, definitely since Phil Kessel. But before that, I mean, you're talking about somebody who's won multiple awards, is a borderline Hall of Famer, is more of an offensive defenseman, put up 100 points. And yet, what is he doing for you? He's got 33. He's got 7 goals, 26 assists. The crazy thing about this for Karlsson is that, oh yes, in his last 5 games, he's had an assist. Arizona, assist. Vegas, an assist. Seattle, Carolina, Vancouver, yes. Did not against Philadelphia, but oh yeah, he had 1 against Buffalo, 2 against Boston, 1 against Washington. He's had an assist in every game this year other than Philadelphia. But does it feel like his impact is really there? Does it feel like Evgeny Malkin is playing up to par? Jake Entsel has 20 goals on the year. Really? Discussions about trading him? Sidney Crosby has been otherworldly. 48 points in 44 games. Gensel, the only other player for the Pens to have more points than games played. He's got 27 assists that leads the team. Karlsson and Letang actually at 26. When you look at the statistical numbers, there's not that much there to completely try to dog on and be really frustrated with. Could they be a lot better? Yes. This is also a team where the Stars are not in their prime. They're not 30 anymore. They're not 28 anymore. I mean, Malkin, he's getting old. 37. Sidney Crosby is still in his prime playing at 36. Chris Letang still has 4 years left on his deal. He's 36. What do you make of Erik Karlsson? He's 33. He's playing okay. Brian Rust has been banged up. He's 31. 31 games played on the year, 11 goals, 14 assists. Do the Penguins make a big move at the deadline? And if so, is it to trade one of the Stars or to bolster the roster? I don't think this team's going anywhere. And I think they're just trying to fool themselves into thinking that they are. A big reason why is because of the goaltender, Tristan Jarry. I understand how good he's been. He's got 5 shutouts. He's got 256 goals against. He's still just too inconsistent for me. And Alex Nedeljkovic, he's played well at times. He's got a 266 goals against. The numbers look pretty good. Nedeljkovic, 8-3, 8-3-2, 1 shutout on the season. They tried to let him win over the job. And when you're allowing your backup to win over the job over Tristan Jarry, you gave a 5-year contract to, and Ned just didn't take it and run. What does that say about Tristan Jarry, who's 12-14 on the season? I don't feel good about him. And I never have. I've always felt like the Penguins should move off of Jarry. Who were the other alternatives? There were guys that they could have potentially had. Yes, they could have tried to trade for some guys. It's a tough situation to be in for the Penguins. It really is. 48 points. You're currently 7 out of the wild card. The Metro doesn't look too good either right now. You're still in 7th place. 48 points. You're 8 out of 3rd. You're 11 out of 2nd. You're not catching the Rangers. Philadelphia, yeah, has played 5 more games than the Pens. Pens 2 back of Washington for 6. 3 back of the Islanders and Devils. Islanders have played 48 games, they're 5th. Devils 46, they're 4th. And then Philadelphia 3rd. They need to go on another one of these surges. But here's the problem with Pittsburgh sports. We're hoping that the Pirates can sneak their way into the last wild card. The Steelers snuck their way in to the last wild card, the seventh seed. They needed help to be able to do so. Thanks, Tennessee beating Jacksonville. The Penguins didn't make the playoffs last year. Now it's all can they get in and potentially make a run and get hot at the right time. Just a whole bunch of mid, bunch of average between the Pittsburgh sports teams right now. There's just a whole bunch. There's no success. There's no winning. There's no guaranteed winning. There's no expected winning at this point. And that's the real problem with Pittsburgh sports right now, where the Pirates are being considered potentially the greatest hope to go to the playoffs and potentially win a playoff game because the Steelers don't have a quarterback situation that is stabilized, and we know that we can feel good about it. People have been clamoring for Mike Tomlin to be gone. And the Penguins' aging stars continue to age. I don't feel good about the goaltender situation. People are calling for Mike Sullivan's head. And the offensive coordinator, Mike Sullivan, for the Steelers, yes, he's getting offensive coordinator looks around the NFL. It's murky, kind of dire, and bleak for everyone involved. Who's going to be the first one to break through? I wouldn't be surprised if it's the Pirates. I'll leave you with that on this Friday. It's the Fan Only Morning Show. The pre-show is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.